In all creation, nothing endures. All is in endless flux. Each wandering shape a pilgrim passing by. And time itself glides on in ceaseless flow, a rolling stream, and streams can never stay, nor lightfoot hours. As wave is driven by wave and each pursued pursues the wave ahead, so time flies on and follows, flies and follows. Always forever new. What was before is left behind. What never was is now. And every passing moment is renewed. From the Doctrines of Pythagoras in Ovid's Metamorphoses. These words. Everything is in flux. It's often said that the only death and taxes are certain, but I would add to the list change. Everything is in a constant state of change. Some of this can be natural evolution, a flow. Change sometimes invited and intentional, sometimes resisted and denied. We can embrace it, resist it, deny it, ignore it, or celebrate it, and still change will occur. People change. Nature changes. The store clerk gives us change. Plans change. Congregations change. Change is natural. It's normal. Actually, the only real constant in life is change. Yet the resistance to change is just as natural and normal as its acceptance. Change permeates everything we are and do. The absence of change is not inaction, it is atrophy. Change is an inevitable consequence of evolution. The most constant and unvarying truth about our universe is, as Heraclitus, the ancient philosopher, said long ago, the fact of change. Everything is in flux, he affirmed. We know that nothing has or ever will happen, whether small or large in the scale of things, without change. Now, while change and transition are offered as synonyms, I would like to focus on transition. That is the passing from one stage, state, or place to another. The process of this passage may sometimes be recognized with a ritual, such as a rite of passage. We recognize these as infant recognitions or puberty rites or marriages and death ceremonies. The stages of transition are reflected actually in the stages of a rite of passage and address the value of honoring and celebrating these transitions individually, as a community, and as a culture. There are stages to every transition, as there is in a ritual. The anthropologist Arnold van Jeppe created a schema for stages present in all rites of passage, which now inform all cross-cultural studies of initiation. He identified three aspects: separation, liminality or transformation, and integration or incorporation. This process of separation, transformation, and integration is in a constant state of occurring. It is the wheel of life, creation to chaos, birth to death. It is the process that supports growth, natural, evolutionary, and personal. Stage 1. Separation may be perceived as something to be avoided, for it implies a break, a loss, and confusion. It also implies movement, change, and individuation. It is by separation from the parent that individual life begins, for the flower, the fish, or the human being. It is in evolution of the planet's continents that were formed also by separation of the land, the shifting of tectonic plates, the mountains and islands were created by the separation of lava from the Earth's molten core. In human development, separation begins at birth. The coming into being of an individual requires disconnection from its mother. The work of this first stage of our lives is continued striving for and resistance to separation. First birth and weaning, recognition of self as individual, movement through developmental stages, and making the break from family to independent adult life. Simultaneous experiences of separation occur also for the parent. I can remember my daughter's first words, myself. And my mixed feeling of joy at her cry for independence and pensiveness with my shifted importance in her life. My own need to release control. It is through the relatedness during these times that we are given our sense of security in the world. I so appreciate psychologist Eric Erickson's metaphor suggesting that like a trapeze artist, a young person in the middle of vigorous motion must let go of the safe hold on childhood and reach out for a firm grasp on adulthood, depending for a breathless interval on the relatedness between the past and the future, and on the ability of those one must let go of and those by whom one will be received. For Lakehead Unitarians, stage 1 of this transition has been the recognition of the limitations and eventual sale of the Algoma home. The congregation has let go of its safe hold on the familiar space and is poised in an interval between and briefly without even being able to see the other trapeze. It is the relatedness, the relationships that do and will sustain. A very significant rite of passage in my own family's life was that within 10 days of my son turning 13, we went on a journey into the mountains of Washington State. There we met with 3 sweat lodge pourers, or leaders. All 3 were also pipe carriers, 2 men and 1 woman. We spent a few days in preparation for Daniel's ceremony. This was the first time either of my children had entered the sweat lodge. Daniel had to work very hard, for the snow was deep and he had to dig out the lodge. He did this labor with minimal complaint for a 13-year-old, for he somehow knew it was part of a ceremony recognizing a change in status for him. As we entered the lodge, I knew my little boy would not exit. He would be transformed. After the traditional 4 rounds and the smoking of the pipes, the women left. Daniel remained for a warrior round with the men. I do not know what they said. I know there was a change in my relationship with my son. For me, the huge work of letting go, and for him, the call to stand in his own personhood with responsibilities. There's not time here for me to share the many ways this change manifested. And I am not implying that a single ceremony made for tranquility and clear role definition in the household I shared with two teenagers. It did ease the battles for independence and aided in mutual respect, though. The time within the actual lodge can be seen as the transformational or liminal time. It is in this time that instruction is given, that the new ways of being are clarified, that the imagining of possibilities happens. In his classical essay, Betwixt and Between the Liminal Period in Rites of Passage, Victor Turner, speaking of individuals who go through an initiation, says they are neither living nor dead from one aspect, and both living and dead from the other. Their condition is one of ambiguity and paradox. Jacob Bohm, the Greek mystic, liked to say, in yea and nay, all things consist. Liminality may perhaps be regarded as the nay to all positive structural assertions, but in some sense, the source of them all, and more than that, as the realm of pure possibility, whence novel configurations of ideas and relations may arise. This is perhaps where Lakehead Unitarians are at this time, in liminal space betwixt and between, a space pregnant with possibility, yet transitory. Now, metaphors do have their limitations. However, the idea of pregnancy fits well for this stage. A time of incredible growth and possibility, with the recognition of it being temporary. And also the idea of something about to be birthed. This is a time of reevaluating, of trying things out, of imagining beyond walls, beyond brick and mortar. Life will move us to this place betwixt and between. Rituals and ceremonies are a way to the next stage of incorporation. The ultimate purpose of a rite of passage is the integration of the individual into society and to dispel alienation, to mark the place in life's passage, and to identify and clarify responsibilities to the group, to the tribe. This is the process we are in. It is an aging of sorts, and aging is a lifelong process of adjustment to change. People who age best are those who are granted serenity. As the famous prayer puts it, the serenity to accept the things they cannot change, the courage to change the things they can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Getting older is one of those things that cannot be changed, either as individuals or as a community. Age forces us to continually redefine ourselves in terms of what we can do. It is an art to be able to grow through the losses and accept the process without giving in to a spirit of decline, rather to one of resilience. For aging is a process of growth, not of decline. I admire people who age well more than those who remain youthful. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference, for both may appear vital and alert. But one avoids the realities of the autumn season of life by pretending it's still summer, while the other enjoys the brilliant colors. As a community aging, do we see the brilliant colors, the reverence for all of life to be witnessed? For our elders, this transition may be marked by a retirement party. That would be the rite of passage for elders in our culture. Now, for many, this can be an anticipated and joyous time. For some, it carries a sense of being no longer useful, as well as a loss of income sometimes. Traditionally, this was the elders' work, to be very purposeful in training the youth, mentoring them. It's the elders who pass on the culture and toss the trapeze. I mention this because there are many in this community who can offer such wisdom. Training and teaching others. Part of our culture that is so lost is this sense of elders mentoring younger people, and it's something that we're called to do during these times. Transition means change, and that is not always something that we as human beings search out. Yet it is one of the few constants that life offers. Rites of passage often attempt to address this paradox, to ease the anxiety of change with communal support, communal acknowledgement, and inclusion. The third stage of integration awaits you as you move into a new space. I've been touched as I have been welcomed into this community by the depth of relationship that provides such a strong foundation for whatever may happen going forward. In some ways, listening to last Sunday's service and the honoring of the space that you have left was like that first part of a rite of passage, the beginning of the rite of passage, and now we are into the liminal. And I'm imagining that there will be a time when you're in the new space where there will be a welcoming, a celebration there as well, that this whole time has been in some ways a rite of passage. Last Sunday, today, and maybe next Sunday or sometime in the future, a rite of passage from the old to the albeit temporary home. I so honor the depth that I have witnessed you express with and to each other, both the longing for something different and the real regret, sorrow of leaving what's behind. Cherish this community. This is a next stage in what is going to be possible. The opening song that we sang this morning, may all who come here feel they have been heard. I have been so touched by the ways that you have encouraged, supported that to happen. Your listening to one another brings us to a deeper place of reverence. And I listened to David's message from last week about reverence, and I thank you, David, for it fed my spirit. This sense of reverence, of both respect and recognition of each other, whether we agree with each other or not, but to be respectful and kind in the process, has been a gift that you have given me. It has taken me to a holy place to recognize, think, and be with you through this time. It surprised me in many ways how much my life has paralleled yours, that Brenda invited me into this relationship right when I was in transition. And I have to say that it is an honor and a blessing to be able to join with you, to be with you and go through this with you. The strength of this community shows up over and over and over again. And I am an outsider looking in briefly. Please acknowledge how amazing you are. And continue to acknowledge how amazing you are as a community and all of the individuals within it. We come together in community because we need this kind of being seen. We need to know that as we reach out for the trapezes in our own lives, that there is someone on the other side throwing the next to us. You do that for each other. And from the stories told, you do that for the whole community. This is holy ground when we come together, and you, each and every one of you, make it so by your commitment. And I would like us to close these thoughts by singing Joyce Poley's beautiful song, When Our Hearts Are in a Holy Place. Hear these words and know that they are truly about this community. Let us sing together.